Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
And welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Radio Network. This here is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show on Sunday. This is October the 15th, 2023. Just want to say welcome one, welcome all to the program, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things as we get into the program today. We'd love to hear from you and have a good time in Jesus. So let's get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus, and we ask you right now, first of all, Lord Jesus, to touch that situation right there over in Israel. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you touch each and every person over there. Protect those, Lord Jesus, who are in this situation, Lord Jesus. We ask you for the Jewish people, Lord Jesus. Those are your chosen people, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to protect them, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, most of all, help the whole situation. They need to learn to love each other, Lord Jesus. They're brethren. The Arabs and the Jews, they're brethren, Lord Jesus, and they need to learn to act like brethren instead of acting like just a bunch of dogs fighting over a bone. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to show them is a better way. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you for that soul who is nearest to hell, Lord Jesus, as we get into the program today, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children out there, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then we want to send out a special request, Lord Jesus, for Timothy Gruber, our evangelist, who is right now at this present time, also, Lord Jesus, in Israel, Lord Jesus, we ask your hedge of protection around him, Lord Jesus, at this time. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you for those, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to any type of illness, whether COVID-19 or any other illness, Lord Jesus, we ask you to comfort them and touch them, Lord Jesus, as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are right now, at this moment, laid up in the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of that bed of affliction as only you can, heal them and touch their bodies, Lord Jesus. Raise them up so they can serve you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you got mail, because we need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, Lord Jesus, who is you. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray and ask all these blessings in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, Sister Ruth, who do we got on the line with us today that might like to say hi?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you, Queen Nye, and just little old me.
All right. So how's your mental doing, Ruth?
It's probably about like an 8, but I'm coming on the mend. I'm feeling a little bit better.
Okay, just two thumbs up. Okay, just
that's it.
Keep it simple, Ruth.
Okay.
Okay, I've got two thumbs up. And you said Queen Nye's out there. Now she's wanting to talk. She'll let us know how her mental is doing. We'd like to know that. So, but for right now, we'll get right into our scripture reading. And then if she wishes, she can join right in. All right, but just remember, those are called 424.
We're around a lot of voice right now, so just continue with the show, please.
Okay. All right. So if you all wish to join in, just 424-243-9617. Just press the number 1 and join the conversation. So right now, we're going to go right into our scripture reading. Here we go.
This is 1 Samuel 15, verses 24 to 31. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king of Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon his skirt, upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel I will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And this was Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, verses 24 to 31. And may God add a rich blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
All right. Now, Ruthie, just for the fun of it, I'm going to have you give a few comments on what you think that scripture means.
Right now, I didn't really pay much attention. I'm sorry. I'm just not feeling good, honey.
All right. Well, basically, this is the text, Ruth, where, Samuel had just caught Saul after he had just made that sacrifice, okay? He was supposed to wait on Samuel. And Saul did not wait because he was in fear because of the enemy that was coming to attack, and he was in fear of the people, and da-da-da. And so he went ahead and he prepared the sacrifice, and he did the sacrifice. And after he did the sacrifice, that's when Samuel shows up. And that's when Samuel had said that God was going to take the kingdom from Saul. And, of course, as we just read, Samuel told Saul that the kingdom would be taken from him. And then Saul says, well, hey, I want you to still allow me to worship. Why don't you return with me so that I can at least worship the Lord?
Okay.
And Samuel said, basically, I'm not going to sit there and worship with you. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and because God has taken the kingdom from you, okay? And as he turns away, Saul grabs the back of his skirt, of his mantle, and it rips. And that's when Samuel tells Saul, well, that God has rent or ripped the kingdom from you and given it to your neighbor, meaning it would be eventually David's. And then Saul then still pleads for Samuel to go and let him worship with him because he wants to worship the Lord. Okay? So Saul is still saying, basically, hey, okay, I still want to worship God, you know, despite the fact that, the king, being a king is going to no longer be mine. At least I can worship the Lord. And then so Samuel finally does go with Saul, and they go worship the Lord. Okay, I wanted your comments on that.
Well, you know, didn't he also mess with the witch of Endor before that, and then he repented to the Lord?
No, this is long before the witch of Endor situation.
Okay,
This is long before he started the attacks on David, long before any of that.
Okay, that's the earlier part, okay.
This is the very first time when everything began.
All right, I stand corrected. All right, that's cool. But it's good that he did want to worship the Lord, though.
Okay, so I just wanted to see if you had any other comments there, Ruth.
No, you did a beautiful job, sweetheart. That's the thing that's
for a bit
there.
Well, but basically, okay, I'm just going to give a little quick comment, and then we're going to get into our music, is basically, a lot of people make off like, okay, well, when Saul did that he was being refused altogether. No. And that Saul had basically walked completely away from God. No. Saul, as you could see in that text, he wanted to worship God. Okay. But what Samuel said was the kingdom is being taken from you. But Saul still wanted to worship God. So even at this point, Saul still wants to worship God, but kingdom was being taken from him. And the reason being was Saul had no right to do that sacrifice because it was Samuel as the prophet. It was his place to do the sacrifice, not Saul, because Saul was not even a priest. So that is the reason.
Also, honey, another thing, he did want to straighten up, but look what he had done before that when he messed around and had fallen around to David to kill him.
Ruth, this is before David, okay? This is before David. You're getting your things out of chronological order.
Yeah, I need to get the Bible out and study it again.
Okay. This is before David. This is before any of that. This is just when Saul had just started out as king. The very first time Saul went out.
All right. Take
so,
your time.
So, I mean, this is Saul just beginning. Right from the beginning, Saul messed up. So, all right. Well, let's get into our music. So,
praise the Lord, hon.
Let's boogie for Jesus.
Yeah.
And you are listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, you can get all of your praise on without leaving the house every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Amen. So, do we got anyone else with us here today, Ruth?
Yeah, I know Pastor Bonnet will be there pretty soon.
Okay, well, let's move right on.
Jesus. and through his precious blood, I shall be made free. I do believe for comfort in the time of sorrow. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. For relief in the time of suffering, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For guidance in the time of decision, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For protection in the time of danger, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For courage in the time of fear, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For strength in the time of temptation, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
We want to say welcome to our very one and only Pastor Bonnet. Are you ready, Pastor Bonnet, or would you like me to play one more song?
Amen. I think I am ready. And if I'm not ready,
well,
at least I have the Holy Spirit.
All right. Well, then, dear listeners, we want to say welcome to our one and only Pastor Bonnet, and you are now in his hands. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I want to say greetings to each and every last one of you. That means you, 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 and yes, even you. And you tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. And yours truly is none other than Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. I'm thankful today to be alive. I'm thankful being in my right frame of mind, clothes. I'm thankful for shelter. I'm thankful that God has still given me a reasonable portion of health and strength. And it is my privilege and honor today to be able to come and share with you in the gospel reading from the Holy Word, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that is the book for me, the Bible. It is our basic instruction before leaving earth. Amen. Some like to say biblical. Amen. But it is our instruction, our guideline, our manual, if you would. We have a creator, God, and we are the works of his hands. And he was kind enough and gracious enough to give us a manual to let us know his intent, his functionality concerning us as his precious creation. Amen. And I'm so glad to be able to share with you some things that will help us to be functioning better. Amen. And so on today, I'm going to be sharing some scriptures with you. Excuse me. I really love to let the Bible speak for itself. Amen. The Bible is a living word. Amen. It is the Logos, amen. It is the Rhema, amen. And if we take time to read it regularly, we'll find ourselves better off. Amen. We'll find ourselves remembering things that we forgot, seeing things that we didn't know before, and being able to help others as they need help, as well as help ourselves with the things concerning God. This monthly emphasis is on harvest. Harvest is the byproduct of a well-planted seed that has produced. And a lot of times the challenge is waiting on our harvest time to come and understanding what that is. There's a challenge in this world because some things you can plant, and in 45 to 90 days, you begin to see the byproduct of that. You begin to see the fruits of it, the labor of it. You'll be able to reap the benefits of it. But then there's certain things like tree fruits you plant today, but it takes 3-4 years before it can develop and begin to produce fruit that you can enjoy and eat from. And even then, it still may take another 2 more years for it to fully develop the fruit to its most sweetest taste, the best taste that it can yield. And so it takes time. And a lot of times, that's our real issue with a lot of things is we want it now. In this generation, the microwave generation, some may call it, we don't want to wait the long process, take some time to cook a meal. We prefer to go to the store and to the frozen section and get a TV dinner, something we can put in the microwave and have ready for us under 10 minutes. We don't want to take the time to prep the food and the vegetables and all the other ingredients that may go together to make what we're trying to enjoy. We don't want to sit down and take time to allow the yeast to raise the dough and then bake the bread. And there's so many things that in this life we get in such a hurry of trying to have it now that we don't wait on the process of time to let those things happen naturally. And unfortunately, what happens many times is we end up missing what we should have, or we don't receive all that we could have, or what we have is only limited because we didn't want to go through the process of waiting for the development of it. And just like infants must grow to toddlers, to small kids and teenagers, then to adulthood, we ourselves must allow the process of time for each thing in our life to grow and develop. And it's that way in ministry, in the lives of other people. So allow me to dive into my word on today. My first reading is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and I will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible today. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And the word of the Lord reads, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Father God, bless this word on today as I journey with your people, Lord God, through the Holy Scriptures. Allow us to, Lord God, to glean what we need to glean, to receive what we need to receive, that we may fulfill our purpose in which you still have us here. And we thank you now. Give us proper understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 17 through 21. Proverbs 18, verse 17 through 21 reads, "He that is first in his own case seeth just, but his neighbor comes and search him. The lot causes contention to cease, and a pattern between might. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contention are like bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Very important part, verse 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Wow. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Amen. Sound like harvest there. Sound like harvest. Harvest time can be a byproduct of what we have spoken. Oftentimes in life, we meet diversity. We meet people who remember us when, before we got saved, before we got things right, before we developed, before we matured. And because that's what they remembered, many people, sometimes that's how they begin to handle you. If you have a substance abuse or untamed tongue, these things are highlighted in their minds because last they interact with you, those were the impressions left upon them. And so when they see you now, all they see is yesterday. They have no foresight on where God has brought you now. And that challenge is, many times people want to handle you now like it was then. And our challenge is not responding to them now like we would have then. Amen, somebody. Life and death lies, the power of life and death lies within our tongue. And so sometimes we don't know how to interact with one another. And so we inadvertently, we end up offending more so than connecting. And so that's why the scripture said a brother that's offended, come on, he is harder to win than a strong city. So a strong city has weaponry, multiple of people, and so it's hard to overcome a whole city. But the scripture says a brother offended. Not a stranger. We're talking about a brother, somebody you know, somebody that is connected to you. So someone that is of like faith, like beliefs, even culturally, if when those connections are broken or offended, it is hard to win. So it's like trying to go to a tree before it's time to pull the fruit. When you go to twist the fruit, it don't release easily. It still holds on to the limb. It still holds on to its position. because it wasn't time. And sometimes we cause that circumstance by how we address the matter. The Bible tells us that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Well, what that mean, Brother Preacher? Well, thank you. I'm going to try to explain it. I believe it means just simply this, that the world that are not sure about God or the things of God, what they are looking for is genuine sons and daughters of the Most High. Why? Because to be a genuine son and daughter of the Most High means there will be more than just similarities. There should be some DNA properties. In other words, you should sound like your daddy. You should talk like your daddy. Maybe even walk like your daddy. Love like your daddy. Manage like your daddy. There should be things that connects you to Almighty God. And so to those that are looking and searching for a genuine Savior, a true God that loves, they're looking for that. And the issue is they're not finding that because we don't understand harvest time. We don't understand that the Bible said, John 3:16, God so loved. In other words, and we hear that he so loved. What did he sow? He sowed love. So if I sow an apple tree, at some point I'm expecting to receive apples from a tree. And so if I sow orange seeds, at a point of time I'm looking to receive a orange tree full of oranges. If I sow cabbage in the ground, I'm not looking for spinach. I'm looking for cabbage. And so God sowed his son. And so what he's looking for is a family. He's looking for more sons and even daughters that can be added to his kingdom. Our issue is that Jesus gave us the great commission to go and to make disciples. But we have been so caught up with our own current affairs. We have been so consumed about where we are on the blessing totem pole, if you will. And so we miss the opportunity to sow love, the love of God, into the lives of people. I like this. As we keep reading Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. 10, verse 1 and 2, King James. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So Jesus went and appointed 70 more disciples. That word disciple means disciplined student. It was simply a student that have agreed to follow the guideline of a teacher. So we know Jesus handpicked 12 disciples to stay with him, to walk with him, to journey with him, to minister with him. But he knew that the message and the work was much needed. And so he went and got 70 more. And this is what he said. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two. He teamed them up. He didn't send them out individually. So he left nobody to sink by themselves. He made sure that there was a left and right hand. He made sure there was a left and right ear. He made sure that there were two eyes. He made sure there was help one or another in doing this journey. So even if it would have got heavy, even if it would have been difficult, there would have been an extra set of hands in helping the work to persist. And so he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. In other words, he sent out promoters to promote him coming. That's like us today, church members, body of Christ, fellow believers. We are here today to promote that the kingdom of God is at hand and Christ is coming again, first to call us to meet him in the air, and later to come and put foot on the ground to receive the rest. Amen. And so he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. Wow. We heard that before back in Matthew's. Luke records him sending out 70 people. And he's telling them that the harvest and the harvest that they are to be looking for is souls willing to be added to the kingdom. But they need guidance. They need instruction. Souls that need to be healed, delivered. Amen. So he said, therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. He say, in other words, don't think that you're all that I need. I need more. So not only are you to go out and to heal and to deliver and to share that I'm coming, but you are to make ready the hearts and mind of those so that they also will begin to tell others, their family members, that I am also coming. How do I know that? The woman at the well got the message. After Jesus dealt with her, she ran into the city and told the men, men, we can listen when the direction is back towards Christ. She said, come see a man that told me everything that I did do. And she pointed them to Christ. She didn't point them to her elevation, to no new position, nothing surrounding her. She pointed them to Jesus. Come hear what he got to say. We've been hoping for Christ. We've been looking for Christ. We've been looking for the Messiah. We've been hoping for the Messiah. Is this not him? Y'all be the judge. Come tell. You come and see. And after they came, they saw. And they say, we believe, not because you said he is, but because we have observed him for ourselves. We've heard him. We received him. And so the assignment of the 70 to do what this woman did, to go out and to let others know that the kingdom of God was available. Usually when you make yourself a citizen and you're not born a citizen, you have to be in connection with the government that controls the registry. When the kingdom of God, God controls his own registry. And he said, and the word says, no man comes to the Father but by Jesus. So in other words, if I want to be part of God's kingdom, I must come by Jesus. But how can I know that if nobody ever tells me that? How will the world know that and understand that if we don't share that and demonstrate that you, regardless of your condition, regardless of where you were, can be a citizen of the kingdom of God if you repent and receive it by faith? Now, I know we in words say that it doesn't cost you nothing, that salvation is free. All of that is true on one hand, but it do cost you something. It costs you to let go of your old sinful ways. It costs you to surrender your faith to his word, to take him at his word, to believe his word, in order for you to receive his word. That costs you something. That costs you to get outside of who you think you are. You know, that earlier text that I read about, he that is first in his own cause seemingly just. I mean, you think well of yourself, but your neighbor comes and sees something different. You think you this, but people think you're that. You think you're already righteous because you don't do the big evil that others are doing. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And when we don't believe that, then we don't believe him, because he said it. Moving on. Verse 2 again, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, petition God, petition the Father. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into his harvest. Why? Because the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. That means the unbeliever too. So we are to pray to what we read in Genesis, and God created heaven and earth. And I think it was around day 4 when he put the vegetation all in order. Amen. And he put these, he put all the vegetation in order. And so the harvest was the byproduct of seed sown. But he took from his thoughts what the seed shall be, and put the bee and the seed in the bee. So when the fruit was ate, the seed was remaining, and it was to be reseeded into the ground, which was commanded over in Genesis, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. We read it, so long as the earth remains, there shall always be seed time and harvest. And he commanded that because he had just previously destroyed all living except those that was reserved on the ark. And he said, I'm not going to judge man like this because I see now that man is wicked from his youth up, and in his heart evil continues. That's why we need a Savior, to save us first from our own wrongful thinking, from the wickedness of our very own heart and the deceit thereof. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Says the word of God. So we must understand that our job as co-laborers are to go out into the vineyard and gather in those, because the kingdom of heaven is available. Verse 2 again, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers, that's more so than just workers, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his vineyard. So we see God doing this. So taking another page from the way Jesus teaches, Matthew chapter 20, and we'll walk through this step by step, and we'll be done for the day if the Lord say so. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll look at this whole story, because there is a way that we need to be mindful of our labor. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. This is someone who has ownership. He not only have ownership of a house, but the property surrounding the house. And because he has a house and he has land around the house, he has also obligation to utilize the land. Because this is a day and time where it was frowned upon not to be useful. So he has utilized the land and the home. He's a householder. Some would call it a husband. Some may even call it today a farmer. And so if you look at it from the term of a farmer, let's walk forward from there. So I'm going to use, in substitute of householder, the word farmer. For the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is a farmer, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers, people looking and ready to work, wanting to be useful. So he hired laborers into his vineyard, the land that he had put to use for seeds to grow and develop. Verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. And that day and time, penny went a long way. And this penny was equivalent to a day's wages. Now, if you work for $10 an hour and a day's work was 8 hours, a day's wages today will be about $80. So let's just round that all the way up to $100. So they made that $100. They made that required amount for that day's wages. Okay? And so that's what he agreed. He said, I'm going to pay you a day's wages. Now, it was also a custom and law for them not to hold wages. So in other words, if you work today, at the end of the day, you're supposed to get paid so that you can deal with what you have to deal with and govern what you have to govern and manage what you have to manage on your own property or your own home. So he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. He sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour. Now, that third hour, most of us don't speak that type of old English. That's around about 9 o'clock in the morning. And 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And so that means they started early, sunrise. So they was already up. If they was up at 6 working in the third hour, that means 9 o'clock. Okay. And so he's up. He's working. They're working. And he's in the marketplace, in the inner city. And he sees people not working. The Bible says here, and he went out the third hour, and he saw standing idle, people not working, people not busy in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. He said, hey, come on, I got some work for you. But hey, what's going on? He said, ain't nobody hiring us. Okay, what's all right? I got some work for you. Hey, man, come on. God is saying to us, I don't care if you're in a city where you see five churches on the same block. There's still work for us. You know, if all five of those churches are full to the rim and there's an empty parking lot, there's an empty vacant lot on that property, in that same area, then there's more work to be done. There is not a shortage on sinners. We don't have to monopolize or try to take from other ministries. We can get out here and labor because there's much out here to gather in. Remember, he's teaching us about the harvest and how to think, go about. So he saw in the third hour others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said unto them, go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Now, here's what the conversation was. Whatever's right, I will give you. In other words, you're not working the whole day. And so, you know, you don't get the full penny worth. You may get whatever's up under the penny. And I don't know what's under the penny because for us in our money value, penny is the lowest. But if we go back to the standard of the $100, then if they started 3 hours later, then they need, you know, you don't see them making no more than $70, you know, if that, you know, because originally I said 80. So you see them making less. But this is the heart of God. And this is the glory of the kingdom of God. See, yes, you may have been in ministry 50 years. And I've been in ministry 40 years. And somebody else 20 years. Somebody else 10 years. And we're going to keep on going back. Let me get back to the text so I get all the way ahead of myself. And he said unto them, go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. They went on to work. They began to labor in the vineyard. And the agreement was whatsoever is right. And again, he went out about the 6th hour. So 3 more hours later, he goes back out. So this is now about noontime. And so he went out in the 9th hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or later. And he did likewise. And even the 11th hour, that means at the end of the day, so that means the work schedule by this terminology, and so that means I was off a little bit in the beginning. I gave it an 8-hour work day. This would probably be a 12-hour work day. At the 11th hour, he went out and he found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? That's the question for us today. God is asking us, because we read already that the harvest was plentiful. We read that already. In other words, there is much work to be done. Is everyone in our neighborhood saved? Is everyone in our city saved? Our country? No. So that means there's work the believers to still be doing. And here's the good news. Let's read it. He says, why stand ye here all day idle? And that's the bad side. Idle means they weren't doing nothing but just standing around, going through the motion. They was not being productive for the kingdom. They said unto him, because no man has hired us. In other words, they wanted work. They wanted responsibility. They wanted an opportunity, but they found none. He said unto them, go. And this is why I tell every born again believer, Matthew chapter 28 and the last two verses, that the last chapter, the last two verses, those are the Great Commission. That is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. And Jesus gives us a command, and he says to us, his followers, go. We see here, he said, go ye into the vineyard. Matter of fact, I should split screen this. I'm going to come back to it. Matthew 28. He said, go ye therefore and teach all. He's putting them to work in the vineyard. Teach all nations, baptizing them. That's work. That's the labor. The labor is to teach, to inform all nations, baptizing them. This is something to do with immersion or to be submerged. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He repeated the word teach again, teaching them to observe. So how do you teach somebody to observe something? That means you do it in front of them. You live it in front of them. All things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And we go back to our text. He tells them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way. And again, he went out the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others. I mean, there's still people that we need to help to advance the kingdom of God. I mean, you right now that's looking for the preacher to preach you happy, somebody in your family, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your circle is looking for you to minister some happiness to them. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye all day? Why are you doing it? Why are you standing around wasting your life? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. No one gave you purpose. He said, all right, I got purpose for you. Go ye into the vineyard. He said, you can't find a job. Volunteer your services at somebody ministry and feeding the poor, keeping the church clean, helping around. You have skills. Volunteer your talent. It works just as well as your treasure finances. Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever right, that shall ye receive. Wow. So when evening was come, they started working late in the day. That means us that's been laboring right now, if the rapture is delayed another 20 years, even though we've been saying it's around the corner, it's any day now, all of that, that sound good, that sound wonderful, we right, let's keep on saying the same old. People that jump on board and start witnessing the gospel the year before the rapture, 6 months before the rapture, 1 month before the rapture, those that labor then are equal to our labor now. And let's not get high-minded and say, Lord, I done did all this for you. And let us not be jealous of those when they start their labor and seem like their advancement kicks in overdrive and they receive more accolades or more possessions, different things of that nature than what we have now. Because we're not laboring for those things. We're laboring for what he said is right. That's our question. What is right for me? I can't look at what you have and judge what I have based on what you have. Apart from Christ, none of us can judge what another person have and what we have. We can't judge that to be what's fair, because God always gives us what we can handle. Some of us don't know how to handle a pistol. So if I handed you a pistol, I best make sure it has absolutely no bullets in it. because you're going to accidentally shoot yourself or somebody. If you are immature with money and I give you more than you can manage of the money given to you will never be fulfilled by you because you wasn't ready to manage it. So that's why you don't have it. And it's not that God didn't want to give it. But if it caused you to lose out on your connection with God, miss the purposes that God has for you, then it's best that God don't give it to you. Parents with most, they understand certain things you can do for one child that if you do it for another child, you have to do it in limitations and with full instruction. Otherwise, and up under proper guidance, visual, close guidance, because you know they're going to mess it up. They're going to hurt themselves. Verse 8, and we're reading Matthew chapter 20 with verse 8. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the least or the last unto the first. Now, most of us, on surface, we might have found that part of it to be odd. Why didn't he start with the ones that came first? No, he dealt with them from the rear. And when they came that were hired in the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And you can imagine them thinking that they only deserve a fraction of the gift or the wages that they received. Excuse me. In other words, let me put a pen here. In other words, our labor for God is not for nothing. Salvation was his gift because of his sacrifice and our belief and trust in him. But now the work, the labor that we do, it determines a reward to come. And we shouldn't be sitting around all day doing nothing with our lives, day after day, day in, day out. I'm not saying you ain't supposed to have rest days. I'm not saying that you should work yourself till you're tired and can't do nothing. But why sit idle when you are in a place looking for work? Most of us want opportunity. But we must ask ourselves the question, why do I want the opportunity? Because some only want the opportunity so that their name can be mentioned. That's where we go wrong. Because if all we wanted was our name to be mentioned, then that will be our reward. And we will have nothing else afterwards. So they received every man a penny. I mean, the group that came in last, they got a full day's wages. But when the first came, that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Why? Because that was what was agreed upon. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. It sounds like, if he never blessed me again, I'd be satisfied. I don't sing that song. I think it's a wonderful song. I think it's real nice. And I understand the full magnification of the song, but I'm a person that I listen to words. I need God to bless me all the days of my life. So if the blessings for God stop yesterday, tomorrow I will not be satisfied. Because I want the blessings of God to continue in my life. And some things we say are the cliches or because we've heard others say it, but we don't understand the fullness of what we're saying. Again, the powers of life and death lies in the tongue. Sometimes we don't understand what we're saying. But anyhow, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. That sounds good. That sounds wonderful. That sounds gracious. That sounds like a person who's committed to a life of humility. And all that sounds wonderful. But if you're looking for something specific in your life, if you're looking for one particular thing, that's what you need to be asking God for. That's what you need to be praying God for. Don't be saying all this other stuff and you need God over here and God show up over there in your life and then you still acting miserable because you like these hurt people. You looking for more, but you agreed for less. I hope I'm making it clear. I'm hoping I'm making it clear. A harvest. It's still a harvest, but it's the work that we do on what's already prepared to come. Verse number 10. But when it first came, they supposed that they should receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Verse 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. And we found ourselves murmuring against God for what we have. We must ask ourselves these questions. What did I agree upon? We must ask ourselves, am I standing idle? In other words, am I working in the vineyard? See, the scripture that said, be not weary in well-doing, it involves us working. It involves us doing something meaningful. It involves us being productive. And all of us have the potential to be productive. It's just on different levels. Everyone can't do the same job. In fact, it's even better to say all of us are not called to do the same job. But we are all called to work. The scripture says, work while it's day, for the night comes when no man can work. So we're to work. Verse 12 said, saying these last have, these are the folks that's complaining. They're saying these last have walked, but they said walk. For us today is work. They only worked but 1 hour. And you have made them equal unto us. Here's the danger. Because of the time of work, a status quo on where we was here first type of attitude. And they use that for some type of superiority. For us as born again believers, there's no big I's and little U's. We are not to operate because we are all to be co-laborers. And that's the title, co-laborer. It doesn't matter whether you're on the east side of the vineyard and I'm on the west side of the vineyard and somebody else is on the north side and somebody's on the south side and somebody smack dab in the middle. The burden is gathering the harvest. The joy is in gathering the harvest for the master, for the lord of the manor, for the farmer. That's the joy. The joy should be in that we are winning souls. We are saving people alive. We are rebuilding lives. We're keeping those that have backsliding, and we're bringing them back into good standing with the Lord. We're being our brother's keeper. We're demonstrating the love of Christ to even our enemies. Why? Because we saw them hungry and we fed them. So we're working. But the statement was, you have made them equal unto us, which bore the burden and the heat of the day. That'll be like us today, especially us in America, who don't have to go through physical persecution. Mm-hmm. And the disciples who was killed for their diligence and their steadfastness and their drive in trying to spread the gospel against those that wanted them not to spread it and took their lives. So we compare ourselves to them. Although, in essence, they had a greater charge because they had it from the beginning. But because we have more liberty than they, we should be working even more diligent than they. Charge on us is really greater than it was on them. So they won't be saying to us, oh, we started this, and you wouldn't. No. We all are laborers together. And that's how we have to look at this, regardless to when we started this fight, when we got into this race. We're here now, baby. That's work. We got to make it do what it need to be done by putting our hands to it. They say, put your hands to the plow and make something happen. Answer one of them and said, friend. He didn't even disrespect him. He didn't just say, hey, dude, what are you talking about? Now, friend, that's still close fellowship. Friend, I do thee no wrong. Have I done yet? Man, listen. Did not you agree with me for a hint? I don't want to say, is this our agreement? Yes or no? Is yes, if no, then what we agreed on. Take that dying ears. He said, man, listen, take your money. Here go your money. Here's your money because you done gave me your labor. Here's your money for your labor. And it's not my money no more. It's your money because you put in your time. And some of us, we want money and we don't want to put in the time. We ain't going to deal with that. Take that thine ears and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful? This is what God's saying. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? God bless who we want to bless. He gives to whom we want to give. And because it belongs to him, it is not for us to judge because this one seems to have millions. Why this one only have 1,000 and that one has 100? That has nothing to do with our conversation. We don't know the agreement. We must learn to stay in our lane and continue to pray to the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest itself is plentiful. And we're not harvesting souls if we're fighting over money. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few are chosen. That's one day of work. What about the next day? We don't see this picture from the next day. Based on how that person responded, it predicts the next day. Because the harvest was still plentiful. In other words, they only done enough to get done what today needed to be done. There's still more harvest out there. So the next day, do the first that was first, do he still remain to be first? Or has he become reluctant and said, well, if I'm going to get the same pay whether I show up early or late, I'm going to show up late. Now he's no longer a worker, a laborer. He's a worker because he's going to work, but he ain't really laboring now. Because he's not doing what's needed. He's trying to skate by. I said all that to say this to us. As we labor in the vineyard of the Lord, the harvest itself is plentiful. It's much work for all of us to do. Let's be mindful to do what God has called us to do. And let's not put our focus on what others are doing. Because at the end of the day, all of us have to stand before Christ to give an account for the work that we have done. That's a fact. That's not a statement. It's not me just saying that. The scripture said Jesus himself gave the scripture. He said that the Lord going to divide his sheep from his goats. And before he said that, he said not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter in. That's how that started out. Then he talked about the division of his sheep and his goat. And his sheep, he's going to say one thing, and they're going to be surprised about what he said. And when he gives the answer for why, he says, when you've done it for the least of them, you've done it also for me. Then those are considered goats on that left side. They're going to be saying they done this, that, and the other. And they're going to ask, Lord, when we had the opportunity to do this for you and that for you. Every opportunity that you avoided, doing it for the least. And by avoiding that, you avoided me. And those people are going to be cast out into outer darkness according to the scripture. That's not me saying it. That's the word saying it. Now, if you think I'm making up something, it's in the book. Look it up. It's in the New Testament. Look it up. Find it for your oneself. And when you find that scripture, you will see that God is going to judge us individually. Period. And so let's not face hard judgment. Let's trust in the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and lean not to our own understanding. Let's acknowledge him so he will direct our path. Amen. Let's trust him to do what his word says he will do, my brothers and sisters. So my question today is, are you laboring in the harvest time? Or are you standing around idle? Work or no work? What are you doing? Are you working? Or you're not working. You're one or the other. You're either working for the Lord or you're not working for the Lord. There's no in between. If you're working for the Lord, this is not for you to answer to me. This is you to answer to yourself. What work are you doing for the kingdom of God? And if you find out that you're not working for the kingdom of God, the text says, why stand idle? You know, a car is idle when it's on and it's not in drive. When it's still in park and the engine is running, it's on and it's running idle. You have life in your body. You have a reasonable portion of health and strength. You still have your right frame of mind. So the choice of being idle or working is yours. I encourage you to put it in drive and work for the Lord. Let's get something done. Let's be a blessing to someone other than ourselves. Let's focus on the kingdom agenda. And that topic is for another day. God bless you. God keep you. I pray that something I said today would encourage you and enlighten you. Once again, this is the Six Eyes Radio Network. This program is the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. Hopefully you can praise the Lord because you have been a good soldier. You have been working in God's vineyard and understand whatsoever right God will repay. Amen. And you don't have to worry about it. God going to take care of you. He's not going to cheat you, but he's going to give you a proper day's wages for each day you work. So keep on working. I encourage you to keep on doing what God has blessed you to do for the kingdom. Amen. Your reward is coming sooner than you know. God bless you and God keep you. You're back in the hands of those that's in charge. Missionary Ken passed it over, so I guess I pass it back to him. Thank you again for listening. We love you. Be trust in the Lord with all thy heart and all thy might, and lean not to your own understanding. God bless you.
Amen. Pastor Bonnet, that was a good, good message. And I have to say, you started out talking about microwaves and stuff, and that kind of reminded me of how, you know, some preachers... You know, some preachers, sorry to say, you know, we talk about these instant things. Well, some of us preachers, I'm sorry to say, I'm going to tell on us, some of us preachers out there, we get into those, as I call them, Ruth loves it when I talk about this, these microwave sermons. You know, they go to an outline book. They haven't done no study themselves. All they do, they go some outline book, some sermon outline book. They pull out an outline, and basically they warm it up in the microwave. They warm it up, and then they just re-preach something that somebody else preached. They haven't done their own study. They haven't cooked it up. They haven't cooked it up, you know. Cooked it up with the heat of God's fire. Nothing like that. They just want to microwave it up.
Well, yeah, I guess you do have some out there. All I can do is tell God thank you. I love cooking the old-fashioned way. I ain't got no problem with microwave popcorn, but I like popping my popcorn myself in the pot. Still to this day.
Yeah, man. You know, and that's the way my messages always come. They come straight from the pot. They kind of, you know, they've been cooked a while. They've been simmered a while. And, you know, so no, none of them microwave sermons.
I guess I preach too long for my sermon to be microwave. Sometimes I'd be looking. I look for opportunity to give a 15-minute message. I'm like, what? That's all? 15 minutes? Oh, okay, cool. I'm gonna just give you the bullet point from my real sermon.
Yeah, man. All right, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us that might have some takeaways?
Okay, let's see. We have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and of Angels. We have you. We have Pastor Bonnet. Let's see. Next person. Oh, it looks like Mrs. Bonnet's on. Okay. Then we have, what's her name? Queen Nye.
Uh-huh.
And we got six down here. Okay. And then just me.
Okay. Well, of course, if you... Press it number one. We'll know that you're ready to say something here. If you got a little comment, question, of course, a takeaway on the message today. Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm very thankful for the message today and planting the seed and remembering that we have a responsibility to sow his word into others. And I had an appointment earlier this morning, so it kind of ran over a little bit. But what I got was, you know, we have to do God's work. We have to continue to do God's work and share his word because that's part of our responsibility. So that was the takeaway that I got. God bless everyone that's on the line.
Amen.
And,
amen. Amen. Good evening, Pastor Bonnet, everyone else listening.
Good evening.
So I'm going to actually go back. I don't want to skim. I didn't get to check the whole message out. But what I did hear when you talked about the harvest and you talked about people I think you made a point of one paying so they will have the means to do what they need to do and not having excuses. It was something on the lines of that that stuck with me real good. It was something I'm paraphrasing, but you basically said with the harvest and about expecting the harvest and having the means to do with what you need to do, be it property or whatever, having the means. So that stuck with me. But what I'm going to do is listen to it back in its entirety.
Amen. Brother Six, while you're still there, I have your attention there for a moment. Now, if some of our other listeners like to do just what you're talking about doing, how may they do that?
Okay, so there's an option of going to www.blogtalkradio.com/SixEyes, and they can look up any Sunday show, and they can download it that way, or they can go to iHeartRadio and Apple Music Podcast. In the search, they type in Six Eyes Radio, SixEyes, space radio, RADIO. In the top right corner, you're going to press follow, subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand whenever you want it, 24 hours a day, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
And there you have it.
Yes, you can access all our shows tomorrow, Motivational Monday, with our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Powerful message you don't want to miss. Giving you nuggets to take
Amen.
Home. Get your week started out right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, any more takeaways? We're not pressuring anyone. It's just good to always have something to take with you after God has delivered a word to you. The Bible talks about recognizing our times of visitation. And if God came to your house in a physical form and said, I'm bringing a gift when I come by, but you must remember to ask, how many of us will actually say, good night, Lord. Thank you for visiting. I'll see you the next time you come, and don't ask for the gift that was promised. I think none of us would. Yes, we would be excited that he was there, but to know that he had something for us, that would make us even more excited. And then when we unpacked it and opened it up for our oneself, we find out that it was everything that we needed until the next visit. We would never not unpack anything he gives us from that point on. And that's what we need to be about the Word of God when it comes to us. We need to not save it in a sense of not opening it, but save it in a sense of the ability to share the experience. Most of us nowadays, because of Twitter and Facebook and all this other stuff, we go to the restaurant now, and when our food come out, we're taking pictures of our food, posting it on our Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever platform we're utilizing, and say, look, this food was good. Blah, 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 this, that, and other. We comment. And no matter how good it was, we still had to pay for that meal. And we share those things. I'm just saying, let's not make the Lord jealous and not share his food. And what Missionary Ken said, I think that
the message I gave was delivered on a clean plate and well presented. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's not, I pray that one of y'all with the Spirit of God will let me know so I can work on it and get it better. Because I can always be a better cook. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I was saying, though, Pastor Bonnet. I was kind of hinting at that, but I was also saying, you know, I was just kind of also mentioning there are some preachers out there, they like to microwave their messages, and that's pretty much it. So, yeah, I definitely appreciated and enjoyed the message today.
Thank you very much, sir.
You have to be willing to listen to the message. Okay. You have to be willing to listen to the message. And like I said, this is why I'm going back to listen, because like I said, I don't want to skim over the message, but I did tell you what I got from that and what I listened to. But this is why you can always go back and listen, you know, at your leisure if you actually miss the message and don't hear it in its entirety. That's why you can always go back. Amen.
Amen.
And how is our First Lady doing?
Going good. Message is good. Enjoy.
Oh, that's your, hey. All right now.
Amen.
All right now, amen. Okay. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was letting her answer for herself. Like those parents, that husband and wife, when the Pharisee was asking them, how did your son see? Is this your son that was blind? Yeah, that's our son, but he grown. He'll tell you. She grown. She can tell you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Just want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, doing the work of the Lord. As he says, I love the work of the Lord.
God bless you, First Lady.
God bless you, too.
Thank you.
God bless everyone.
God bless everyone. I agree. If I didn't say it earlier, I'm saying it now.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. We also want to keep Tim Groover covered in prayer. He's over in Israel. We also want to pray for Evangelist Clayton. She had a procedure done, I believe it was Friday. And on Wednesday, I'm having a procedure done. So keep me in prayer as well. And pray that I don't keep falling.
Yeah.
I have had 8 falls in 1 month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I fell, Saturday, Charles, and Friday.
Yes, Ruthie Jr. Yes, she did.
What'd you call me?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, clean it up, clean it up, clean it up.
I read it in the Bible, that a good man falleth 7 times and get back up. And so I guess a good woman falls 8 times and get back up. So.
Amen.
Yes.
We never.
Look, A6.
Yes.
There's a good man fall 7 times and get back up. A good woman fall 8 times and get back up because they're always trying to one up us. So.
You know why that is? Because they actually
got one
of our kids.
It is the woman who has the babies.
Well,
it's the woman who has the babies. Anything else y'all need to say?
Pastor Bonnet, here's the reason.
The reason they want to get pregnant?
The reason
they
can
only have.
Charles, you want to get
the
pregnant?
The baby is the harvest, but all I got to do is remind y'all one thing. If you have no
seed.
If you have no seed, you have no harvest.
Yeah, I know you
thank God
that seed.
Thank God,
yeah,
for
but...
thank God for Jesus.
thank God for seeds. But we should reverse it and you men give birth.
Now, it wouldn't be no problem.
They won't
be
able to handle it.
It wouldn't be
we,
no problem.
We know that, but somebody going to talk to it like
even,
they can handle it.
We're not even designed for that. I can't handle what I ain't designed for anyway. My butter knife is not designed to go out there and tighten up stuff that's supposed to be used with a full screwdriver, either flat or cylinder.
I don't
want
to go there by the swell
on
the brow,
they have the sweat on
a man's brow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the women
and that's why women having heart attacks today
also,
because
like,
all the women that's trying to do men's work are falling out with heart attacks and strokes long before that time trying to do a man's job.
Yeah, one thing my mother and my mother
if the men
would
stop wearing shirts and be a man, then
amen.
We women wouldn't have to.
You have an amen right there. But just because he wimped out don't mean you supposed to bulk up.
No, you're not supposed to. But what I'm saying is men need to be real men these days.
Ain't no but. All of us got one of those. Ain't no but.
Yeah, we all do.
Right. So here's the thing, Pastor Bonnie. One thing my mother and father told me, we can sing together, but we can't all talk together at the same time. Now, the reason the woman falls down one more time than us is because they have one of our ribs. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus. God made us.
To make woman
to be your helpmeet because he knew you couldn't handle everything by yourself.
Absolutely. To help.
Amen.
To help.
All we hear is help. That's all.
To help.
All we hear is the help. We help the meek. All we doing is
doing
the help.
To help. Look, before you get to the meek, you got to get through the help. If you don't start helping, ain't no meek. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. I know y'all mad at the preacher now.
Oh yeah. Lord.
Oh yes.
Well,
if the help meet don't help, what good is she?
Ooh, well, I do more than my share. I can't speak for anybody else, and I'm in a wheelchair,
not,
so I don't want to hear it. I do more
we're
than
not
my
keeping
share.
Score here. We're not keeping score here. Keeping score.
We ain't got to keep no score. Facts is facts.
Well,
you either the man or you wearing a skirt. That's
one,
the end of it.
One,
you step up and be the man, and there's no question.
So when one
if you
want to
wear the skirt,
then
be the woman.
So when one acknowledges what they do, who are they doing it for? Are
amen.
You doing it because that's what God requires you to do? Are you doing it for self-gratification? Why are
okay.
you doing it?
Well, when a woman goes out
now,
and buys all the groceries, should she have to bring them all in herself? Should she have to bring in the heavy waters and the heavy drinks
tomorrow on Motivation
by herself? Let's talk about that.
This is why.
If you follow scriptures, the women have always brought the water, even to
Absolutely.
The
Molly
water
Pitcher.
There.
Molly Pitcher.
They have always Molly done
Pitcher.
That. But the men
yeah.
have been the ones that have been hunters, working in the fields.
That's right. That's
going
right.
to war.
Yeah, women doing
that's
that
right.
now, too, now.
Fighting
so
for
don't, women doing that now, too.
Well, yeah, but
yeah.
y'all complain.
And the,
y'all complain.
And
you
every,
ain't got
and
no
listen,
whales.
Here's
you ain't got
here,
no whales. You ain't dug not one.
To all of you that like to use
one
your search engine.
We can say we done the same thing y'all did, but y'all can't push out a baby. That's all to it.
Hold on.
Who would want to?
Brother Six said it well. We can all sing together, but we can't talk. So one
Amen.
At a time.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Here's what I'm saying. You can sit here. Everybody can sit here and try to divide roles. But the real fact is if it wasn't for me, it would be no you. And if it wasn't for
That's
you,
right.
it would be no me.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So we all need one another. Amen. Now.
Amen.
If you want me to stay biblical, I'm gonna go Baptist on all of y'all just now. The Bible says the Bible, not Bonnet, not the preacher, the Bible, the final authority says that Christ is the head of the woman. Christ.
That's right.
You know, the one that shed his precious blood one time. For all.
That's right.
And he said that, and as Christ is the head of the man, so is the man head of the woman. For the woman, for man was made for Christ as the woman was made for the man. Now, that's what the Bible says. Any
yes,
words
sir.
Against that is not a
yes,
word
sir.
Against me. It's not a word against the preacher. Ken said last week, don't add, don't take away.
That's right.
If you do, that's your own peril. So now y'all can add or you can take away. But the book says.
You know, women are good at adding, especially when they're going.
It's God the Father, God the Son, then the Son, which is the man, then his wife, then the children. Process continues. That's
Amen.
What I'm saying now. Now,
let me point some things out, you know, about women adding, okay? So they add all kind of unnecessary things to their purse, to where they're carrying the house in their purse.
You just stirred up trouble
more
again.
Things. Yeah, they add more things to the cart when they're going shopping. You know, I mean, it's just within them. It's in them. Amen. Yeah.
I ain't gonna say no that. I'm gonna bow out. All I know is. Whenever you give a woman something, she is like the earth. She'll produce what you gave her. So she has the ability to produce whatever seed you gave her. That's I'm going to leave it like that.
Amen.
So.
You're a married man. Smart man.
Yeah. Take notes.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to bring up a point, though, okay? Okay, and I think this should settle the whole issue here, okay? It all comes down
don't
to,
turn
okay?
Us. Don't turn against us.
Okay, it all comes down to this, okay? It's not whether who carries the baby, and it has nothing to do with who's got more in the purse, and it has nothing to do with, the Bible says, yes, the man's the head of the woman, okay? I mean... Settled issue there, okay? That's Bible. God said it. I believe it. That settles it, okay? But when we're doing something, whether it's man or woman, okay, when we're doing a task, the point was made here, and it six said it, and this comes the rub. Who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for our own glory? Do we have
Amen,
to have
brother.
Praise of man and all these accolades? Oh, Reverend Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang this, Missionary Wolfgang that, and he does this, he does that. Oh, he does this and he does that for the Success Radio Network. Do I have to have all those accolades? Is that the reason I'm doing it? Or am I doing it for God and I expect the accolades to come from God and God alone? Okay? So you have to ask yourself, are you wanting the praise of God or the praise of man? Because in the end, getting praise of man, that's only going to last until you go in the grave. And it's over. It's done. But you get the praise of God. No, you may not get it right here on earth. But as Jesus said, you're going to get your rewards. You're going to get your goodies when the judgment seat of Christ comes around. And then you're going to get your goodies, and those will be eternal. And that's the question. Which one are you doing it for?
And that's a good takeaway from my message earlier.
Amen. Amen. The brothers are doing it today. Amen. Sisters, sit back and listen. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. The good Sunday is Sunday.
Let me help y'all women. Let me help y'all women. I want to help y'all women.
I want to help y'all.
This one understanding.
Amen.
And this is on all of us. The Bible says, I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about the Bible. It says that the woman is the weaker vessel. In order to be her, there has to be a first. So she can't be weaker unless there's somewhere else that is also weak. And since there's only two species of mankind, the male and the female, if the female be weaker, it denotes that the man is also weak. So without Christ, none of us can toot our own horn.
Okay.
That's right.
So when the male is tooting his horn, I know God is taking note.
Well,
vice versa.
That's right.
If the horn is being blown and it didn't come from heaven, God is paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But the only horn outside of Jazz, the only horn that needs to be blown that we're looking to hear for is that one that's going to call us up into the sky.
Yeah. But God did say, "Be assured of oneself." So, you know, it's not tooting one's own horn. It's being confident within oneself.
Don't flip the script now. Don't call somebody out and then flip the script for your convenience.
That's what it means. That's what it means. Amen.
Oh,
amen.
I read it earlier. There's another text I read earlier.
Amen. I do this all day. I can do this all day.
Yeah. Amen. But we got your game.
Look, ain't nothing wrong with learning how to defend your position. Football going on right now. Somebody's playing right. And there's an offense and there's a defense. And the whole point is for one team to beat the other team. Now, if it be a team of men versus a team of women, one team is trying to win. Amen. So in a team sport, and that's what this seems like it is, in a team sport, the goal is to win against the other team. That's all I got to say now, women. I'm a man. Thank God I'm a man. Thank God I'm a man. I don't have to be driven by some chemical impulses and all that other stuff. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I don't have to go through those monthly cycles. Thank God. I don't have to put, oh, thank God. Glory. Hallelujah. I ain't got to push out my head. But thank God. No, go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So y'all can one thing.
Amen, brother.
Look. Thank God I'm a man. But ain't nothing like a woman.
You're right about that.
Nothing. I love my wife. That's the only thing I let rub up on me, something smooth and soft. Woo, glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come here, baby. Wait. I don't need nothing
we'll be right back.
Like me rubbing up on me. Thank you, Jesus. Glory
right
to God.
All right now.
All right. Well, while he's doing that, we're going to see if Six can get this bloodhound of scripture, all right?
And we're going to let the pastor cool off.
Because it's Six's turn to try to get the bloodhound of scripture. So here we go. What do you say?
Amen.
You ready, Six?
I'm pretty ready.
Bring it.
All right. Well, here you go, Six.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him.
Ooh, we find out here that if you love God, you're born of him, and that's how you know that you're born of God, is because you're begotten of him. Amen. We'll hear that verse one more time. Amen.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him.
And we find out here that if we're born of God, we also love others too. That's how we know that we're born of God. And we'll hear that verse one more time for our listeners' sake.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
All right, Six. So where would that be found?
Is
you
that
got
John
this one.
5?
I mean, he the only guy that got three books, two, and three.
Is it John 5?
Yeah, 5 and what?
Verse 2.
No, 1. You good? You right on it. The first one. That's right. You said 5 and 1. That's what you said, right, Six?
I said 2.
Can you say
no,
5 and 1? Can you say 5 and 1, Six?
John 5:1.
There you go. First John 5 and 1.
5 and 1. Excuse me.
Yep.
All right.
First John.
Let me pull it up.
First John 5 and 1. Finally got Six to get one today. All right.
Okay.
Now see if you now.
I didn't bother Papa Six Eyes. Good job, Dad.
Thank you, Mama.
Good job.
Now the fun is see if he can get it next week. So
all right,
Six.
Son. Way to go, way to go, way to go. Thank you, Dad. Love you. Miss you. Amen.
So, Six, pay attention. This is the verse you'll have to sniff out by next week. Here it is.
And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you.
This is much better than saying this bud's for you. Amen. We'll hear that again.
And now, O ye priests, This commandment is for you.
All right, so you priest, listen up. There's a commandment for you, and we'll hear this one more time for our listeners' sake.
And now, ye priests, this commandment is for you.
And that's what you gotta sniff out by next week, Six. Yep.
Amen. Bring it. Amen. Now, Pastor Wolfgang or Bonnet, if one wanted to sow a seed into the Six Eyes Ministry, how would they go about doing that? And if one wanted to give a love offering to our very own Pastor Kevin Bonnet, how would they go about doing that?
Well,
Pastor Bonnet,
if you like
hit
to,
on us.
If you like to donate to Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, it is simple. You want to have a Cash App account. And from that Cash App account, you want to type in the word, one word, Pastor Bonnet. That is Pastor P-A-S-T-O-R Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T-T, all lowercase. Put your dollar sign before the pastor, dollar sign, Pastor Bonnet, and send that to Cash App. It'll come up with my full name. It'll say Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith, Church of God in Christ. And whatever gift you decide to give, thank you for your support in ministry. God bless. And
Amen.
Now back to Missionary Ken for how you may donate to the radio program here called the Six Eyes Radio Network.
And that is very easily done. You've got two options. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal and enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter dollar sign, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, dollar sign, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small is greatly appreciated. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. So send in that love gift today, because remember, radio for you right here at the Six Eyes Radio Network is always free to listen to, but there is a great cost for us, and we would appreciate a love gift from you. Amen.
Amen. Get your prayers on without leaving the house, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen.
I just realized what time it is. Man, that conversation between men and women took a minute. Boy, I tell you, church folks go to talking sometimes, don't they? Because I know I left some time on the clock, and I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, it's already 30 minutes after, half after. I said, wow, okay. Boy, you want to start a conversation. Just that was an easy conversation to get going. Imagine if it was about 24 of us on here. We'd still be talking about men versus women.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that surely will take up the old time clock real quick.
Oh, yes.
But all things being fair and equal, I think one of the issues in our world today is identity crises. Identity crises. I think the greatest challenge any of us have to face, male or female, young or old, is identity. The devil, if you don't know who you are, then the devil will try to tell you who you are. And whatever he tells you you are, you are not in the sense of what he's trying to say that you are. And he will challenge your position, challenge your authority, challenge your understanding, and it's all to have you conflicted with your identity. That's why it's so important in a name. Name means something. Now, Lord, share that with me earlier before the message, the importance of a name. The importance of a name. Because when we really dig into the Bible, we understand that name means character. And a character cannot change. When the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means his character, his original design does not change. And so, like the English language, A is an A, it never changes. In translation, we would change things because we translate it. But in its original form, it's still what it is. And God, regardless to how people try to change God to be this old, gentle, loving, without responding physically and without chastisement, any of those things, we forget God is also a warring God. We forget that there's a rough side of God, too. Yeah, there's a kind side, but there's a that's why the Bible tells us that it's terrible for a man that fall into the hands of an angry God. And so, you know, but God is who he is, and he does not change. And so we must develop the same understanding that I am to be who God said I am, and not change from what he says I am. Because even the devil tried Jesus. He said, if you be the Son of God. If. In other words, he was saying, I know who you is, but do you know who you are? Mm-hmm. And the twist was, if you are, do this. Well, I don't do it just because you identified me. I have to do it whether or not it was in the call that he told me to follow. And that's where we get off. And that's why in our conversation dealing with men and women, role, and for the most part, when we look at it in Scripture, it really deals with the worship service and public worship. In the public worship, man is always the lead out. But what we have seen over the course of time is women leading out. I ain't mad at women for moving forward in the absence. But according to Scripture, men was always supposed to lead out in the worship of God. Matter of fact, God called men three times a year to lead out from their communities to worship him corporately as men only. I ain't just making this up. It's in the Bible. If I was wrong, Ken would have done correcting me by now. And so we have a charge, men, and that is to lead others that's behind us, not that they're less than us, but we are to lead them to Christ. You think about it. Go ahead, Missionary Ken.
And I'm going to kind of add to that. When you read the Old Testament, the priest, when God called the priests of the Old Testament, they were male. He did not say
all of them.
That they were to be female. They were to be male. They had to be of certain age. And if they were married, the female was supposed to be under subjection. And then that theme was followed over right into the New Testament when you read 1 Timothy chapter 3. The person leading the body of believers, he says, if a man desireth the office, notice how it says this. Now, ladies, you get your back up if you like, but, I mean, this is as plain as the nose on anybody's face, the wording here. If a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work, he then must be blameless, the husband of one wife.
That's right.
It's kind of hard to be the husband of one wife and be female.
That's right. And we're talking in a time where at certain places, a man may have had multiple wives. So he streamlined it. He said, so it don't say once married. He said one wife. Because sometimes people... I've seen people take that out of context and say, well, this man is divorced and remarried, and they ain't even got to know the circumstances surrounding it. And they say that disqualifies him. It didn't say once married. He said one wife. And it came from the context in when it was legal for men to have two wives.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can't come from that, and you can't kill that, because if you try to shoot that down, then you're going to have to go all the way back to what happened. We're under the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. And because of the actions of Sarah, Abraham had a second wife. Yes, she was removed from the scene, true enough. But God allowed it. It wasn't the original intent. Jesus cleared that up. But it was allotted. So we, the body of Christ, just kept it clean and said, listen, every man, not just some, all you just need one. So went going back to the original intent of God's purpose. And if you go back to God's original intent, God always originally meant for the man to lead his family in worship or in recognition of him, period. It is the responsibility of that husband, of that father, to be the source of his family and to lead his family. And that don't take away nothing from the children, and it certainly don't take anything away from the wife. We have scriptures from Proverbs and Psalms that supports the woman role in that co-parenting of the children and so on. But when you go back to Genesis, it tells you that her desire will be to try to rule him over her because she was first deceived. So that's what it is. And our job is to come up under grace, let God redeem us, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and follow the original intent. They was made to be helpers. They were made to dominate the world together. Amen. Not to dominate one another.
Amen.
You know, me over my wife is not me being making her a servant. She's not a slave. No, that ain't what that meant. But that deals meant that there's a level of authority. Christ himself thought it not robbery to be compared equal to God, but still made himself of no reputation. In other words, he still humbled himself under God the Father. But the scripture later tells us that God the Father put everything under his control to the Father. That means he said, my will is to do the will that sent me.
And, you know, Pastor Bonnet.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you're saying that, kind of reminds me of what one preacher said one time, speaking of husbands and wives. When you're speaking of the marital relationship, what a lot of people forget in marriage is they're not competitors with each other. The wife especially, she is to be a completer, not a competitor.
Amen. Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. A completer, not a competitor. I love it. I love it because it's sound. Because we are not in tension with one another. Because teamwork make the dream work. And guess who? Even if the woman receives, I showed y'all this several times before throughout the years. Even if the woman receives the revelation first, throughout scripture, she's the ticket to her husband. When I think when Samson's mother received that revelation that she was going to have a child because she was barren, and this child was going to be a child of promise and purpose, and she didn't just get happy and go tell her girlfriends and all of that and spread it around. She went and told her husband what was communicated to her. He then prayed, Lord, let that man appear again. And that's what happened. And the instruction was given to him. Amen. And that instruction was given to him. And he, and this is what he said. He said, what must we do? He didn't say, what must she do? He didn't leave, she didn't leave him out, and he didn't cancel her out. Because he had the authority to stop all of that because he was the head of that. Even when it came down to Joseph and Mary, Joseph was the, he was the, he was the, that was his attendant bride. I mean, they wasn't complete. They haven't married yet. So that was, they just had the engagement. They was, they were scheduled for one another. But what was going to take place had to take place before the honeymoon night. So it would be of God, not of him. So God had to get permission. I know y'all don't like it like that, saying God ain't got to get no permission. God set order. And he wouldn't go against his own order. So he sent the angel to Mary, and he sent one to Joseph. Told Joseph, don't be afraid, and told her what would happen. And she said, how can that be? Not challenging God, but stating to God, since I don't know a man. Ain't nobody, I haven't been violated. I haven't given up my virginity to no one. And my husband haven't sealed the deal yet. In other words, their covenant wasn't sealed yet. Because that's what a marriage is. A marriage is a covenant. And that's why the new marriage laws are wrong. It's a covenant that God ordained.
Yeah, it's a covenant, and not a contract.
And it's one of blood. And that's why if all of us would do it the way God intended, That contract will be filled with blood because it will be her first blood without a period that took place. I'm going to leave it alone from there. Might got little ones listening. Anyway, so we are workers together, not workers apart. And what usually happens is we end up repeating the same mistake that happened in the garden. Adam blamed her, and she blamed the snake. And in other words, everybody blaming somebody but themselves. And that's what made them all weak, because they didn't own up to obligation or responsibility. Period.
Well, Pastor Bonnet, when I was talking about a covenant and not a contract, well, I just want to point this out. When you have a contract, okay, that's a thing that it's an agreement based upon distrust between the parties, okay? That's basically what a contract is. You spell out between each other what you will do and what they will do, and you sign it, and it's based upon distrust because you really don't trust the person, and that's why you fill out a contract. While a covenant is an agreement based upon trust between the parties. That's what it is.
You know, I got to use that at some point. I got to do my due diligence on it. I got to use that.
Well, I'll allow you to steal it. It's okay.
I ain't gonna steal it. I'm just gonna perfect what you gave me. You've given me the tools that I need. Now I just got to go and learn how to use it. I'm gonna use that tool.
All right. But that's what it is. A contract, you sign it because you don't trust the party. While a covenant, it's when you give your word to somebody and you trust them. And so you don't have to fill out a piece of paper. And that's what it is. But what do we do? This day and age, that we
fill out what you need to do and I need to do. And that's because I don't trust you to do what need to be done, so I'm going to have to spell it out for you.
Yeah, and see, and that's why we've pretty much gotten marriage now. We got marriage down to, you know, these prenup agreements. That's what it basically is a contract between the two parties because they don't really trust each other before they got married. Amen. Now I'm preaching now. I went from meddling to preaching.
You don't went over to meddling.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That meddling to preaching got Dalton on here. That's what that did.
I love it.
Woo,
I love
glory.
It. Amen. I love it.
Excuse me. I believe in laughing and something funny. So that's
amen, Brother Dalton. How you doing, sir?
That was funny to me. If it wasn't funny to nobody else but me, it was so funny to me.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's why we call them prenup agreement, because they don't trust each other. They got married but didn't trust each other in the first place. Ooh, glory.
And if they didn't, they outside influence told them, don't you trust him, don't you trust her, you better get it right.
Uh-huh, yep.
And we done saw over the years all kind of foolishness going on.
Yep,
listen, I heard this. What, the day yesterday? Day or yesterday? Might have been yesterday. I just heard this one. And and this ain't a gospel show. Talking about two famous, we all know and respect them for being together.
Them my people.
It is saying, I ain't going to call their name.
I know.
And they've been apart for 7 years. Ain't nobody knew. Ain't nobody knew. Especially after the incident. I mean, I'm just trying to look. I'm waiting to see what they're gonna say later on before I repeat anything. I want, because you know sometimes stuff just start off and be just rumors of rumors of rumors of rumors. So that's another way of saying lie upon lie upon lie upon lie, just to see what type of traffic it gonna draw. That's why I ain't calling no names, because I don't know no truth to it. I didn't hear the individuals themselves, even though it was said, stated it.
Alleged.
Yeah, she allegedly made that statement. Thank you very much, sir. So that's why I said I ain't going to call them out, because it could be, one of those lies upon lies upon lies. And I don't want to spread lies, being a gospel preacher who preaches truth. But that's the world we live in. Stuff happens.
Well, just to let you know something that's not alleged and it's not a lie, but we're less than 7 minutes till the end of the show.
Well, it has been a wonderful fellowship with both of you. And thank y'all for coming down into the basement. Man, I tell you what, we had fried fish today, not chicken.
Yes.
Yeah, fried fish. It was good.
Yeah. Trumpet even enjoyed the show today. Trumpet enjoyed the show so much he tried to drink my coffee. So I think he likes the smell of coffee.
I guess he just seen you drinking enough. He like, man, what is this? I mean,
come on, Trumpet.
I mean,
Hello, boy.
And we want to solicit all y'all help into finalizing a theme song for Trumpet. Real shortly here, we'll be sending out little snippets as we on the search for Trumpet theme song.
There you go. Come on, Trumpet. Come on.
So whenever Trumpet comes into the room, his theme song going to come in with it.
Here you go. Come on. Hello. Say hello to the people. Come on.
Hey, Six.
Yes.
One suggestion for Trumpet theme song is the first 10 seconds of Sanford and Son.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's one suggestion. As you formulate these theme songs to put together for Trumpet, when he walks in the room, we're gonna just his song gonna come on. So. First 10 seconds, I mean.
Donna's could be sophisticated lady or good morning gorgeous. She walks around
Donna.
Here like she is queen bee.
Donna.
There's a movie about the rapture. And they actually have a trumpet blast in there when the rapture takes off. That'd be a pretty cool thing for Trumpet.
I don't want to put Trumpet in God status. It may blow a head up.
There
it is.
I'm telling you, drop it. I don't know. That'd be funny. Diamond. I'm a 007. I'm a James Bond fan. They had this one of them was Diamonds Are Forever. I think theme song. Yeah, I think that'd be Diamond's theme song right there.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
3 minutes.
Yes.
Hello to the people. Say hello. Say what's up to your fans, Trump. Say what's up to fans, buddy. There you go. Say what's up to the people.
Gosh, oh, he was so cute.
Hey, what's up to your people?
Keisha, did I show you the pictures of Trumpet?
Thank you, did. Yeah, both.
I got pictures of Diamond, too.
Diamond. Yeah, I thought I seen Diamond. I didn't see Trumpet.
My little boy.
Well, once again, love all of you all. Thank you. It has been a joy to fellowship with you all. It's coming a day. I don't know when. We'll be able to do this in person, this core group.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and break bread together. I don't know when, but I know it's coming a day. Be it on this side of glory or the other side, it's coming a day. Hopefully it'll be on this side, though.
Amen.
Because I want to eat so I get full and sit back and laugh at y'all for being over full. That too, you know, that also make good conversation. Yeah, who ate too much on my birthday?
All right, I'll send you another picture of Trumpet and Diamond so you can show First Lady.
Okay.
All right.
Y'all have a blessed one. I'm out.
You
got business
enjoy.
To take
See,
care of.
Gospel show.
Everybody have a blessed week, blessed evening and week.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, love y'all.
Get the prayers on and leave the house. The Six Eyes Gospel Show. Take care. All right, America.
And
God bless everybody.
God bless. Join the Six Eyes Radio Network group.